So our text is from the gospel reading we heard a few moments ago, Matthew 4, verse 4, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if I remember right, my wife and I had to teach each of our six children at some point that just because someone says something, just because someone says something, it doesn't mean that what they say is true. And that wasn't a simple lesson to teach, as all parents discover eventually. It had to be reinforced again and again and again, all the way into their early teens, which just so happened to coincide for us with the advent of mass cell phone usage and text messaging. Thank you very much, technology. How often were feelings hurt? How often did tears flow, anger rise? Because someone had said something or texted something that simply was not true. But it had been said. Of course, as adults, we're past that, aren't we? I mean, our world as adults is full of words, words that are spoken, words that go in one ear and right out the other without stopping even for a moment in between. Commercials on the radio as we drive to work. Chatter on the elevator as we ride up to the office. Gossip at the water cooler. Conversations overheard in the Skyway going to lunch. It just seems like our lives are filled, yes, just filled with words, with speaking, with saying, with a whole lot of yak, 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 and blah, 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 which is okay, right? It's meaningless, right? Doesn't matter, right, what people say? For just because someone says something, it doesn't mean it's true. And yet we haven't escaped that idea even as adults, have we? That when something is said, it's often taken to be true. It's often taken to be true just because it has been said. I mean, even as adults, our reputation still can and have been hurt by unkind, poorly chosen, misguided words said about us. And if that was not all, we've also had to read words in print about us, perhaps on a review or in a report at work, or in a footnote somewhere in a paper or book, that although not true, they have been written, they have been spoken, they have been said, so they still hurt. They still harm. They still hit us where we live, and that is in our hearts. Now think about it. Think about it for a moment, won't you? Why is it that this happens? Why does it happen at all? Why is it that we must teach our children that just because someone says something, that it doesn't mean it's true? Why is it that even as adults, we must keep telling ourselves that just because someone says something, it doesn't mean it's true? I mean, it's almost as if our default setting, the way we were born, is this. And that is that there's an essential relationship between what is said and what is true. In other words, we're born with the idea that whatever is said is indeed true. We're born with that idea. Whatever is said is indeed true. Now, that's pretty powerful stuff. But recall our Old Testament reading once again and think, how is it that sin was introduced in the world? Was not sin introduced into the world by the devil coming to Eve and convincing her that what God had said to her wasn't true? Wasn't true, but was in fact, in some way, false. Not surprisingly, the Greek word diabolos, from which we get the word devil, has something to do with talking, with speaking, with saying something. For the term diabolos means a slanderer, false accuser, one who unjustly criticizes to hurt and condemn to destroy a relationship. In other words, the devil himself is defined by the act of speaking, of saying things that are not true. So concerning the devil, Jesus said, when he lies, that is the devil, when he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar and the father of lies. So on the one hand, we seem to be born with this idea that whatever is said is true. And on the other hand, the devil is defined as the one who is the one who doesn't say true things. Now, it's easy to dismiss this nowadays, easy to dismiss such lying on the devil's part because of the fact that we must deal with lying in our own lives every single day. We know this. But we shouldn't have to do so. We shouldn't have to deal with lying every single day. For what is spoken should be true. What we speak should be the truth. And thus we even have two commandments, not just one, two commandments dealing with our speaking the truth. The one, the second, deals with our words about God. That is that we should never speak falsely about God, misusing his name. Of course, the other is the eighth commandment, in which we are instructed not to tell lies about our neighbor. Now, in our text, we find the devil confronting Jesus and doing pretty much what he did with Eve in the Garden of Eden, drawing a false conclusion from what was the reality, the truth. Yes, Jesus was in fact the Son of God. That was true. So the angel Gabriel had said to Mary. Jesus didn't need to prove that he was the Son of God. He didn't need to prove it by acting against his Father's will, and as man should, and as man should use his divine attributes to relieve himself of the suffering he was undergoing, suffering which was a result of the Holy Spirit having driven Jesus out into the wilderness after his baptism for his good. So Jesus' response was really overwhelming, his response to the devil. It was not, I must be about my Father's business, just leave me alone, devil, or something like that, but that more important than bread for man, more important than the basic food of life, more important than any such daily physical need was God speaking. God speaking to man. That is every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how man lives. Man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Our sin so often, our sin which is so much like that of Eve, is that we don't live by every word that comes from the mouth of God, but we live by every word that comes from the mouth of man. How do we do that? By believing what we want to be true. And thinking we can believe it because some human being somewhere has said it. Instead of simply living each day knowing and believing that we live by the Word of God, whether we can hear it all the time or not. For it's through the speaking of God, the very Word of God, that we were created. It's through the Word of God that we are justified in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's through the Word of God that we're sanctified through the Holy Spirit of God. And it's particularly in the work of the Holy Spirit, as He would sanctify us, that is, make us ever more and more like Jesus, that we are challenged to grasp this idea that we do, in fact, live by God speaking to us. And is lived by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And you know, there are three component parts of every type of speaking. You probably have heard of this. Three component parts of every type of speaking. There's one, the one doing the speaking, right? Then there are, number two, the words that that person speaks. And number three, the one who hears those words. The one speaking, the words, the one who hears. So, often the devil would that we simply not hear the words spoken to us by God. And when that doesn't work, the devil takes the meanings of those words, which we do hear, and what does he do? He throws them into question. And if that doesn't work, the devil then does something else. He overwhelms us seemingly with life, even the words of man, so that we simply have no time for the words of God. So, what does God do then? He speaks, devil confronts what he says, tries to get us not to hear it. What does God do? Does he give up? Does he roll over, as we say today? What does God do? Make his word get to us clearly so we understand it, so we daily can live by every word that comes from his mouth, so we daily can live with a sure and certain knowledge that what has been said to us by God is true. Through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we've been justified before God. That is, our sins against the second and eighth and all the other commandments have been forgiven. What does God do? What does God do to get his words to us? Well, he sent his word to us personally. Yes. That is what our Father in heaven did. The word that was in the beginning with God, the word that was God, God caused to become man. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, we read in John chapter 1. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, in Jesus Christ, our Savior, what do we have but the very personification of what we find in Holy Scripture, in what God has said to us? In other words, if we could take all the words that God has spoken to man and roll them up into a ball and place them in one spot, or better yet, have them constructed into some sort of something, it would be, it actually is, Jesus Christ our Lord. For who is Jesus but the one who has existed from all eternity, but who like us was created, being born of the Virgin Mary? Who is Jesus but the very Lamb of the Passover, which we learn about all the way back in the second book of the Bible, Exodus, in human flesh? So that once offered up on the cross as the very Word of God, no other such offering need be made for you, for me. Who is Jesus but the one as man sanctified by the Holy Spirit through especially his suffering on the cross, as are we, as we too are led through troubling and trying times, so that our faith will grow in him, in our Lord and Savior. Who is he, Jesus, but the one upon whom the Holy Spirit was poured out in his baptism, gifted, we say today, just as what happened to us in our baptisms. And yes, in that we live daily through our baptisms into this Christ, into his life. What do we live each day but by every word which comes from the mouth of God? And all those words are wrapped up together in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, so much more could be said here. But the fact of the matter is, truth be told, all of the words we speak about God, about our neighbors, should not be lies or slanders or deceptions, but true. For what we say should, in fact, like with God himself, be what is true. Indeed, one of the reasons the Holy Spirit is sent to us is for that very purpose, to speak the truth. I will ask the Father, Jesus told his disciples, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So the work of the Holy Spirit, who would encourage us daily to speak truly, to grasp and rejoice in and wonder that we do, in fact, in Christ, in the Word of God incarnate, live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is, we live not only in the life of Christ through our baptisms into him, or even in the way of Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit within us, but in the truth of Christ through his word. Amen.